Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, ah. Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, ah. Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, ah. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, ah. Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, ah. Jehovah, Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, ah. Jehovah. Jehovah, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Hallelujah, say, you are the Most High God. Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Jehovah, hallelujah, say, you are the Most High, Jehovah, eh, Jehovah, Jehovah, eh, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. Jehovah, eh. Jehovah, Jehovah, you are the Most High. You are the Most High God, Jehovah. Hallelujah, say, you are the Most High, Jehovah. Jehovah, 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 eh, Jehovah, Jehovah, eh, Jehovah, Jehovah.
Most High God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we get started, we're going to open the service with a word of prayer. Brother Garen, if you don't mind, will you come, my precious brother?
As we come to you today, Lord God, we pray that anything that's ailing anyone's body. ready to receive, Lord, that we've come empty, ready to be filled, Lord God. Lord God, let your Holy Spirit rest, rule, or reign, and abide in this place, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise our God. Amen. Amen. Let's grab our Bibles. Let's turn to Psalms 145. Praise the Lord. I got to read this one, and I got a little happy. It's a little long, a little lengthy, but great and precious words. Amen. The psalmist David writes, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of thy might, of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We want to speak and sing about all his wondrous works. Hallelujah. Good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Come on, let's sing that again. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Come on, people from every nation and tongue. People from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation. Hallelujah. Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, there's none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no God is stronger. is our God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know that to be true. Amen. You all may have your seats. Amen. Sister Burns, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord.
God bless you, saints. Good to be back home this morning. It's going to change the atmosphere a little bit. Pray you enter in with me. From my heart, the world and all its charm. Now, through the blood, oh, I'm saved from all alarm. Down at the cross, oh, I was lost and way deep down in sin. Once was a slave to passions, these within. Once was afraid to trust a loving God. But now I'm cleansed from every stain through Jesus' blood. And I love him. Oh, on Calvary. I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but oh, the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live to tell the world around the peace that He the Him. Yes, I really love Him. Oh, because Jesus first, oh, He first loved me.
Stay fortified behind the word, led of the Spirit at all times. Amen. We know we're at the end time. So Satan's going about trying to destroy all that he can. So pray for one another continually. Amen. Sister, we have any announcements this morning?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for bringing us back here safe. tried to trip me. Amen. You love the Lord. Appreciate that song, Sister Birds. I had a song on my heart, and you changed it with that song. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times when I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. And my trials come on only to make me strong. I've been lots of places. I've seen lots of faces. There's been times when I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that
Church, sing it. Come on, everybody. Say, through it all. Everybody say, oh, to trust in Jesus. Yes, and I've learned. Well, now through.
You back to some of the trials that you have pressed through and persevered through, and man, and it's been times where maybe you didn't know how to trust them, but you've learned that you can depend on Jesus. Amen. He won't fail. I can tell you that right now. I don't care what you're going through. God won't fail. If he made your promise, he is able to keep it. Amen. All he needs you to do is just keep it in his hands. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. A mighty God. Man, how we just appreciate his presence, amen, here on today. We want to thank the Lord for Brother Randy Coleman, amen, being with us. God bless you. So good to have you, amen, with us. Amen. Have I seen the sister before? You've never come before? Okay, all right. You've come All right, I was the sister in the back. Amen. Good to have you. Amen. In service today. Good to see Sister Blanche. Amen. In the house of the Lord. God bless you. Amen. And I didn't get this brother. That's with brother. Brother Solomon. Okay. All right. So good to have you in the service of the Lord today, my brother. God bless you. First Sunday, so I have a responsibility. Amen. That I just want to take time to do it. And I'm a singer song, amen, as well. This morning, I hadn't done a special in a while, and I think I mixed up some things on the list. So that put me, amen, on the hot seat, amen. So we'll just do a little something, and I'm gonna go old school on y'all today, amen. Let me if we have the building fund update, I just want to acknowledge, amen, something here. We started a project a little over a year ago where we were raising money for our building fund, and we are grateful to the Lord. He certainly has been adding, amen, to our numbers. But we had a goal for the next 3 years. We started last year, and then, you know, this year we're continuing in 2019 and also to next year. But our goal is to try to raise $100,000, $105,000 a year. That's the goal. That's what you see there, amen, in orange. That's the goal. What has been pledged, amen, towards that $105,000, amen, is $56,809. That's what's been pledged. But the goal is $105,000. Received year to date, that means for 2019, what has been received for 2019 is $7,951.17. Let's give God praise for that. I want to call it $8,000, amen, that we have received, and, you know, and we're grateful for the Lord. And as you can see, there has been no transfers. We have not used any of that money to pay our bills. The bills are being paid, amen. And glory to God. He is supplying our needs, amen. My God, turn around and tell somebody, He supplies. But He's good. So our net, amen, for this year again is, I'm going to say, $8,000. Yes. Amen. And we on our way, amen, to a new church, a new school. We on our way. We making preparations. So y'all just get ready, amen, for great things. You can turn that back. But somebody was telling me this week, you know, they were going through, and they say they just learn to start asking God for big things. And I say, you know what, I'm like, you don't even know what you're saying to me, you know. And I know what a big thing is. And we've learned to ask the Lord for these things. And we're just under anticipation that He's going to do what He promised that He would do just for us. So, amen. Anyone that would like to join us on this journey, we have some little forms there on the table that you could just take with you as you go, and just pray over an amount that you might want to give to help us, amen, get to where we're trying to go, amen. And we just believe God. We believe God, amen. He's more than able, amen. Before I get too caught up, amen, I just needed to announce, precious brother Jerry, amen, has entered into courtship with a precious sister in Haiti, amen. Her name is Sister Melissa, and we want to keep brother Jerry and Sister Melissa in prayer, amen, as they are entering courtship, and just trying to determine if they are for each other, amen. So you all keep them in prayer. Praise the Lord. Certainly happy for them. And certainly happy for them. So, amen. I'll keep that in mind. All right. So I'm gonna do a little something. And I'm gonna get my old what we call number two choir. I'm gonna to get a few of y'all number two choir people, like Brother Troy and Sister Tanya, my wife, Sister Erica, Sister Tina. She part of the choir. Amen. I don't know if Sister Shonda know that one. I don't know. I don't know if she know that one. If she know it, I want to get her up here. She number two. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to just get a few of number two. This number two. Amen. Actually, is this number two or number one? They might be number one. Yeah, y'all number one. while we doing that, I also just want to quickly announce, don't forget, for Easter, we're doing this little project, and we ask everyone just to kind of take a cross and just write on the cross, amen, what does it really mean to you? Do like a little family discussion as to what the cross means to you, and you all just write on it and just kind of bring it back. We want to do a little project with it, so... we'll have that where if you didn't get a cross last week, we'll have them out here. You can decorate it, you can paint it right on, you can do all kind of things with it, but we just want to we want to do something special for Easter, so keep that in mind. Amen. Now, they ain't rehearsed. They just doing this on the fly. So y'all forgive any mistakes. Like they used to say in the old days, any mistakes we make, just take it in love. Is that all right? You had me there, but I'm like, I missed something here. All right, give me that again. Knowing I'll see you very soon, so I often seek your face. The presence I felt so many times calls me to live by faith, though there are times. Getting my house in order, so I'll be ready when he comes. Friends I thought would always be there, they just can't be found. But I can say this for my Lord, he never let me down, though there are times. Say, I'm getting my house in order, so I'll be ready. Say, I'm living to live again, hey, and with the Lord. Get in my house in order, so I'll be ready. Hey, listen. Oh, he's coming back to receive his own. Get your house in order. Hey, he's coming back to receive his own. Gotta get your house in order. Singing, y'all, he's coming back to receive
it all.
Hey, get your house in order.
Yes, he is. I know he is.
He's coming back,
yeah,
to receive it all.
Get your house
in order.
Come on, sing it again. Oh, he's coming back.
He's coming back
to receive. He's coming back
to receive
his own.
Get your house in order.
Hey, listen, oh, he's coming like a thief in the night. Children, get your hearts right, for he's soon to come. I know he is coming like a thief in the night.
Coming, I
like a thief in the night. Hey. Children, get your heart right.
Soon to come. Oh, I know he is. He's coming like a thief.
Coming like a thief in the night.
Hey.
Children, get your heart right. Soon to come.
Oh, I know he's coming, y'all. Yeah.
He's coming like a thief in the night.
Hey.
Get your
hearts
right.
Oh, he's coming, he's coming.
He's coming like a thief in the night.
Hey.
Get your hearts right.
Oh, coming like a thief. Coming like a thief in the night. Say,
coming like a thief in the night.
Yeah.
Get your heart right.
Come on, sing it one more time.
A thief in the night. Children, get your hearts right for he's soon to come.
Get in my house in order.
Get in my house in order so I'll be ready when he comes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Give it up for the number one choir.
A thief, yeah. Oh, he's coming, coming, coming. Hey. Oh, yeah, I know he's coming. You gotta be ready. You gotta be ready. You don't know the day nor the hour that he's coming. My God, I'm getting my house in order. Say, getting my house in order so I'll be ready when he comes. Comes.
Turn around and tell somebody, say, get your heart right. Get your heart right. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Get your heart right. Get your heart right, get your heart right. Amen. You don't know when, but he's coming. Amen. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. I believe that with all my... Other songs say, I'm living to live again. Amen. The reason I chose the life that I live, because I believe he's coming. And I got to be ready to meet him. Praise the Lord. I can't have one foot in the world and one foot with God. I got to put both my feet in this, standing on the Lord's side. Amen. They had a question, say, who's on the Lord's side? Amen. I'm on his side. My God, my God, my God. Amen. All right.
How many appreciate our musicians? And I thank God for them. You know, we might as well, if we got instruments, we might as well play them. Is that all right? Amen. You might as well play them. Give them a little bit, Sister Rachel. Come on. Be doing like this. A little bit, bass man. Come on. In order, so I'm getting my house in order, so I'll be ready when he comes. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. God bless you. Y'all stand to your feet with me. Thank you, musicians. I certainly appreciate you all. Amen. It was all right. It was all right. It's all right. I certainly just appreciate the Lord Jesus this morning. Amen. My God, my God, my God. You get into little grooves like that, you just want to stay there. It'll become a concert. Amen. On Sunday morning. You know, one day we're going to enter into a place like that where it's just going to be singing and, you know, just worship eternally. Amen. Amen. The gospel won't need to be preached anymore because everybody there already be saved. Right? So then we just worship.
right? Just worship. And I can see somebody bump and say, let me get a little part of that. Just, all right, let me get a little part of that, right? We just going to enjoy ourselves in Jesus. Amen. I want to read, amen, from two portions of scripture today. One found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16. And then the other will be found in Exodus 14. Two short passages, but I trust that the Lord help us to bring, amen, this thought together. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And let's just go over to Exodus 14. Amen. Lord. Amen. Exodus 14. And just reading here, amen, verse 13, starting at verse 13. I'm sorry. Yeah. Verse 13 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And verse 14 says this, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just tell somebody, the Lord gonna fight for you. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for your word. It's inspiring to us. It strengthens us. It helps us wherever we are. Whatever things that we are facing, the word has a way of speaking to our conditions. Lord, we pray that you would speak this morning to every need. We take every spirit that's against the spirit of God underneath the control of the Holy Ghost. And we trust, oh God, that that you would just take control of every thought. Help us to center our thoughts around what we've just read. As we center our thoughts around that, we gain inspiration to change the situations that we are involved in. We go to work, we go to school, we go to all these places, God, and just devils attacking us on every side. But God, we come here to the house of the Lord to get into your presence so we can get something fresh, amen, to overcome the enemy. So speak, Father, in only a way that you can today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Those scriptures, amen, can just be preached from so many different angles. Especially as we read there from 2 Timothy 3:16, amen, telling us that all scripture is given, amen, by inspiration. And the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Various things can be said there. But I want to just take for our subject today just the word inspiration. Amen. Inspiration. Just want to use that. And I'm pulling from a quote here that I read some time ago and just been holding, amen, this dear to my heart. Out of the message, hear ye him. The prophet makes a statement here and hear ye him. And he says, now, when a man is inspired and he reads the inspired word, says the two inspirations together gives a result. So it's one thing, amen, for you to be inspired. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you're inspired without the word, there won't be a result. Come on, somebody. Amen. And it's another thing, we already know the scripture is inspired because all scripture, amen, is given by the inspiration of God. So God not writing things just to be writing things. He's trying to inspire you. So what the prophet is telling us that when your inspiration comes in contact with the scripture's inspiration, then we'll see some results. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. He says, now when a man is inspired and he reads the inspired word, the two inspirations together gives a result. Now, no matter how well you study the word, it'll never do you no good till you're inspired yourself. It takes your inspiration. The word's already inspired. Amen. He goes on a little further. He says, so what we need today is an inspiration over us. I believe that. What we need today is an inspiration. You want to see some things change? You want to see some things fixed? Amen. What you're going to need today is a new inspiration, a fresh inspiration coming from the word of God to change your situation. Come on, somebody. Look at this. He says, so what we need today is an inspiration over us. God sweeping down with a new inspiration and breathing over us his power and his love and himself, that it might inspire us to quicken and waken us to his word. Hallelujah. I like that. We want to be quickened to the word. And then the word being brought into that spirit of inspiration, then you'll see miracles happen. And things take place because the two just come together. And he goes on saying, Brother Joseph, I just printed a message that I was preaching in Shreveport on the dove and the lamb. Many of us has read it, how that only two that could get along was the dove, was the meekest of all the birds of heaven, and the lamb was the meekest of all the animals on the earth. And the dove could not come and abide upon a wolf. It could not abide upon an ill nature because her nature was different, and she could only abide where the nature was the same as hers. So now he's talking about, amen, these two inspirations and how we got to get your inspiration connected with God's inspiration. Then we'll see some results. Now, I looked at a word here, just kind of looking up this word inspiration. It's the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. Listen, the inspiration is the process of being mentally stimulated. Amen. Because you got to understand that before you see anything in the natural, you have to first see it in the spiritual. Hallelujah. And oftentimes, amen, for you to grab a hold of something in faith, you're going to have to catch it in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. You're going to have to be mentally stimulated. Glory to God. That means you're going to have to catch inspiration. Do you realize before the seat that you could sit in, amen, was made, somebody caught inspiration. Hallelujah. They were inspired to put four legs, amen, on a bottom. And then maybe they started just with the four legs on the bottom, saying, now, we're going to need something to rest our back on. And then they made something for the back to support the back. Somebody was inspired. Amen. To create that seat, God gave them that inspiration. Hallelujah. Amen. Before anything takes place in, amen, the physical realm, it has to come through inspiration. The prophet makes a statement. Amen. He says, let me just see if I can find. All real has to come through inspiration. Now, I want you to catch that. All real has to come by inspiration. All real. Everything you see that's real, it came by inspiration. Now, let's go on and look at this. So, again, inspiration is the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. Now, when we look at the universe, we see the inspiration of God, right? When you just look at the moon and the stars and, amen, galaxies and planets and, you know, and everything, it's all the inspiration of God. This very earth that we live on is the inspiration of God. Amen. God saw when he looked at the earth, the Bible says that it was null, it was void, said darkness was upon the face of the deep. Right. Amen. And pretty much when I look at that scripture, I can say when God looked at the earth, he saw nothing. Hallelujah. He saw nothing. Amen. But because of inspiration, he turned nothing into something. Oh, hallelujah. All real comes by inspiration. So if God had that quality in him where he can turn nothing into something, and he has made you a son and a daughter of God, then the same gene that was in God has been passed down to you, and you're going to have to catch things by inspiration.
Before we saw light, God was inspired to call for light. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. He said, let there be, and there was. Amen. His design of the galaxies, the stars, the planets, to put them all in their places. Amen. All that was done by inspiration. Man was made in the image of God. Amen. By inspiration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to kind of catch something today, because I want to speak to, amen, just your, maybe to your personal situations that you might be going through. Businesses are started because of inspiration. Books are written because of inspiration. Songs are written because of inspiration. And not only are songs written because of inspiration, but songs can also be sang because of inspiration. Hallelujah. It's not just getting up singing whatever. Hallelujah. But when a person is inspired to sing a particular song at a particular time, you begin to see not only does that inspiration flow through them, but it begins to flow to others. My God. Because, amen, when one person is inspired through inspired preaching, you can be delivered. Hallelujah. Through an inspired song, you can be set free. Amen. Inspiration will feed more inspiration. Hallelujah. Amen. Lives are changed because of inspiration. But it's not just any old type of inspiration. It's your inspiration being connected with God's inspiration. It will produce a result. I love this. See, businesses are started because of inspiration. Books are written because of inspiration. Songs are written and sang because of inspiration. Poems are written by inspiration. Buildings and houses and bridges are made because of inspiration. I like this. Right? You know, if you're not under inspiration when you're doing something, it turn out it's a flop. Have any of y'all ever tried? Now, I'll be honest, I've tried to write songs, you know, and you think these words go together, and you just start putting them on paper, and then you look at it later on like, what in the world was I writing? See, it was no inspiration. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You can do a lot of things, and without inspiration, especially a godly inspiration, you'll get nothing from it. No results at all. But when you connect that thing to the word of God, you'll see great things happen. Connect your business to God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Connect your business to God. Amen. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. Watch God bless your business. Hallelujah. Not because everybody else doing it, but because God gave you the idea. God inspired you. Amen. And no matter how many other folk out there are doing it, if God inspired you and you step out on God's inspiration, you will see things come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, all right, all right. Amen. I was looking at, amen, a little quote here from It Wasn't So from the Beginning. And, you know, even as ministers, we get inspiration from one from the other. Right? I listen to another preacher preach, and I start writing notes. I know some of you, they don't do that no more. We used to, when we go to church, we take not only our Bible, we had one of these. Right? We take this to church with us. And we have a pen with us. And when something is spoken by inspiration, we write it down. You know, because when you're in the channel, amen, that's the only time you're going to receive. Right? But when you get out of the channel, amen, you need to go back to read what was given to you while you was in the channel. Hallelujah. Amen. So you got to learn to take notes. Some of us are smart like that. We just remember all kind of things. But you got to learn to take notes when you're underneath inspiration, because that's going to feed you one day. That's going to help you through some situation one day when you go back and just look at that notebook of all these little thoughts of inspiration. Hallelujah. Amen. One little thought can lead to a book being written. One little thought can lead to a song being written. One little thought can change situations. Inspiration is a very powerful thing. The prophet was in church one time, and I want y'all to catch this. We're going to read something here. amen, he was in church and he made a comment here in this message. It wasn't so from the beginning. He said, "That's right. You can always tell a Christian. Many, of course, are women not with manicure ever, what stuff is they wear, not wearing that. But I mean, you can tell it otherwise. They're just marked. And a Christian has an atmosphere. Because though he is a son and a daughter of God, he is a creator. A Christian has an atmosphere. Though he is a son of a daughter of God, he is a creator. Look at this. Ever who that little fellow was teaching Sunday school there this morning, I sure appreciate that message. Now, Brother Branham, in a church, listening to a brother teach Sunday school. And it says, he was all right. I liked it. He says, you the brother? Well, right here, well, that's fine. You formerly must have been a Baptist because I could tell the way you was talking. It kind of puts a little mark back there, but we'll outlive it. He's joking with them there. Says, you see, now Baptist brethren, we just kindly want to teach one to each other. But when he said the expression that he made, I jotted it down on a piece of paper. So the prophet taking notes while he in Sunday school. All right. Hallelujah. The prophet say, I jotted it down on a piece of paper. Now watch what this brother said. I'll pick it up out in the office there. Two omnipotents met. That's all the prophet wrote down is two omnipotents met. He said, that's true. When God and a believer meets, there's two omnipotents. Because God, a man is a part of God. He is a son of God. And he says, and when that little, he joins with the entire body. And Jesus said over in Mark 11:22, if you say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said, you can, it will come to pass. Believe that what you said in a Christian is so marked and around him is an atmosphere. Now, all he did was just take that note. Two omnipotents met. He heard a brother teaching that in Sunday school, and he drew inspiration from it. Now, I'm going to pick up later on in his ministry where he brings this thought out. This is out of the Patmos vision. See, he took the note that he got from inspiration. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he goes back to it and picks it up, and then he begins to expound upon it a little bit more. Because God just begins to reveal more to him on that little thought that he heard in Sunday school. Let me go on a little further. He said, the Patmos vision says, hallelujah, amen. This is what the prophet said. Amen. Cut every obstacle from human beings that they might be connected like in the Garden of Eden. Said, I was going to choke it, but I'm going to say it. Man is omnipotent. I mean, man is all powerful. Do you get that? Man is all powerful. Says man is omnipotent. You don't believe that, but he is. A man fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. Hallelujah. Amen. Did not he say in Mark 11:22, whatsoever things you say and don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. You can have what you said. I love it. He goes on. What happens when two omnipotents meet? When God and man comes together through omnipotence, something's got to shake. Whatsoever you say, with that creative power of omnipotence of God, knowing that he's promised it and he said it in his word, it creates a power. Oh, I like this. It creates a power that goes out yonder and brings that thing to pass. Things that is not, it makes them as though they are. Amen. Because two omnipotents have met. There he stands. Oh, isn't he wonderful? As I was reading this and just kind of meditating on this, because see, this is, you know, you have your own inspiration, right? God has given it. By you being made in the image of God, God was inspired. Everything you see in this earth was come from the inspiration of God. So that power that laid in God, you being a son of God, you being a daughter of God, that same power lays in you. Hallelujah. Amen. But you won't see anything till you can get inspired to see it. All right. Listen, when he made the statement here, it takes your inspiration with the word that's already inspired. I just begin to kind of question that to myself. Amen. What is your inspiration? What is your inspiration? Right? And I start, you know, I know that it should be there because we're made in the image of God. I know that it's supposed to be there, but what is your inspiration? And it just, as I begin to meditate on it, I felt that we probably would not recognize what our inspiration was until we found ourselves in a moment of great trial. I think that's when you find out what your true inspiration is. It's when you're going through something, amen, then you're forced to kind of, amen, be something that you didn't want to be. You're forced to kind of elevate into a level that you didn't really want to. You were comfortable just letting God take care of it. Hallelujah. But there are some things God wants you to take care of. Hallelujah, somebody. Right? Amen. Look, now, you know, I just read that scripture, and I'm going to come back to it here in Exodus, because what we read about Moses did that by inspiration. God didn't tell Moses to do that. God never told Moses to say, the Egyptians you seen today, you'll see no more forever. God didn't tell Moses to say that. Amen. Right? Moses got into that situation because the people were afraid. Oh, hallelujah. Fear had the people, amen, they were looking, here we are, amen, facing the Red Sea. This thing looks insurmountable. If I can use the word impossible. How are we going to get across the Red Sea? Moses, where are the boats? Where are the ships? How are we supposed to get across this situation? Not only are we facing the Red Sea, now we hear Pharaoh's army is right behind us. And the people know Pharaoh and his army, they are upset. We're going to die right here at the Red Sea. Right. Now, under this type of pressure, Moses, rather than buckle, and amen, he stood up and said before he cried, because he did cry. Yeah. He did cry. Amen. But before he cried, he spoke. Yes, sir. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he stood up before the people and he said, the Egyptians that you have seen today, he said, fear not, the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. Right. Now, do you realize when Moses said that, he had nothing, hallelujah, nothing from God to give him the authority to speak it. He had no word from the Lord. He had no thus saith the Lord. I want to put it this way. The reason he didn't have a thus saith the Lord is because the thus saith the Lord was already in him. And you got to recognize that there is a thus saith the Lord laying inside of you as well. So when you up against it, thus saith the Lord, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. When the devil is attacking your body, amen, hallelujah, you don't know how you're going to get through this sickness. By his stripes, I'm inspired. By the word of God, by his stripes, I am healed. Inspiration strikes you when you're going through.
Talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he was saying how I wish I would have wrote the scripture down. If I know it's out of Proverbs, but he was saying how, you know, the doctors that come into the room and begin to tell them to just give up on mama. Give up on her. She's not going to make it. Give up on her. He's like, now, wait a minute. We were doing this. We were doing that. We were doing this. And I thought, you know, that's what the other doctor said. No, we're telling you just give up on her. Y'all stop this. Like, well, no, we can't do that. You know, I mean, we got to keep trying. So, you know, they were going back and forth. And when the doctor says this to you, amen, it just kind of weakens your faith. Yeah. All right. So, you know, this friend and his family, they begin to kind of weep and cry. And you had one pessimist, you know, in the group. Amen. Some of us got friends like that. The pessimists. And they like to tell you, you're just an optimist. Yes, I am. Amen.
Amen. I'd rather believe than doubt. Because believing can change things. Hallelujah. I'm willing to accept God's will, but I know that my faith can change things. So if this is an opportunity for me to exercise my faith, then let me exercise my faith. Don't think I done lost my mind because things didn't go the way that I was expected to go. Just like, you know, I'm gonna keep going back to church, even if God take my love when I'm going back to church. So how can you believe a God like that? Well, how can you believe a doctor like that? That doctor done lost patience, but you go right back to his office. Praise the Lord. But he said they were, you know, telling him all this, and they just began to get a little discouraged. So he got to talking with another brother. Amen. And the brother told him, say, after I laid out all these problems, he said, now it's time for you to exercise your Christian faith. He said, now tell me what scripture you're standing on.
All right, come on.
Now, you done told me about your problems, but what scripture are you standing on?
Amen.
And he said, you know, I hadn't thought about anything. Actually, while I was going through, I didn't even think to read the word of God. So he said he began to read, and he read something in Proverbs about, you know, the word providing health to us or something like that. I forget exactly what it say, but he said he took that one scripture out of Proverbs.
All right.
And he just began to speak fit words over
his
mother.
All right.
Encouraging words over mama.
Right.
And he used to say, he would just start saying, because it seemed like mama was losing, her mind there a little bit. And, you know, and they couldn't talk to her the way they used to talk to her. He said, he just began to tell her, said, mama, I just appreciate you. And mama, I'm grateful for how you raised me. And mama, you did this. And mama, you did that. And mama, you did this. And I'm so grateful. And before you know it, the inspiration struck his sister. And his sister began to say, yes, mama, you did this for me. And mama, you did that. And mama, you did that. And before you know it, all the pessimism was out the room. Amen. And everybody was optimistic. And when the doctors are giving up on mama, those fit words begin to change mama. And her reactions begin to be normal because she heard fit words while she was underneath, amen, that condition. Hallelujah. They were inspired by the word of God. And through that inspiration, they changed the situation in that room. If you can ever get inspired by the word of God, you will see your circumstances change. You will see your situations change. But you must be inspired by what's already inspired. Because all scripture, amen, is given by inspiration. The thing changed. Mama left that hospital and went home. Mama left that hospital. When they would say giving up on mama, mama left the hospital and went home. Now, we know one day mama going to have to go.
Yes.
Amen. But they can stop and at least thank God for that miracle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
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 Oh, I'm inspired. What is your inspiration? Right? I believe it comes when you're going through. See, when Moses and the children of Israel were going through, you know, he spoke these words out of Exodus 14, say, stand still. Verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Now, he's just making this up as he goes.
Right.
God ain't told him to say this to the people. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, he put it right back on God. What he pretty much said is, I'm not going to do this, but God is.
Amen.
See the salvation of the Lord, which He put it all on God, which he will show to you today. I can see, now Moses, God, you done put me out here. Now, I'm going to have to put you out here. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm stepping out on faith. You told me to bring the people to this spot. I came here by faith. I did not know when I got here that you weren't going to open up the sea like that. I didn't know that you was going to let Pharaoh's army chase us. I didn't know you was going to do that. But God allowed Moses to get into this situation in order to resurrect something that was already inside of Moses. He would have never saw it if he had not come to it.
That's the truth, brother. Amen.
And there's some things you would have never known was inside of you. The only time you see him is when you come into test a trial. So that's why you got to learn to praise God in the midst of whatever you're going through. Hey, glory to God. If you learn how to worship him in the midst of it, you watch your worship will change your attitude. Your worship will change your outlook. Hallelujah. Your worship changes things. Amen, church. Glory to God. Your worship begins to change it. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through. No matter what you're going through. Amen. They might have told you no, but your worship will change it to a yes. Why? Brother Jack, how can you say that? Because the prophet said, the right mental attitude will change any situation. See, inspiration starts mentally. Right? Inspiration starts mentally. And you know, let me read this, because see, inspiration, oh my God, I come back to that. Inspiration is how we got the masterpiece Moses. Michelangelo, when he was designing that masterpiece, the man was moving by a mental picture. Now, let me tell you this. Michelangelo had never seen a picture of Moses. Never. The man had never seen, there was nothing that he could look at that would show what Moses looked like. That's it, brother. No evidence at all. No artists ever took it upon themselves to try to draw Moses. So the man had nothing to look at. And you can see him, amen, taking his chip of marble. And he begins to chip a little bit here. And he chip a little bit there. And I can imagine all the critics coming by. What are you forming here? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you later. And he just keep chipping. And he keep chipping. And he's doing all the chipping by inspiration. I want to tell you something. There's some things when you're doing it by inspiration, you can't explain it to everybody else. You can't share it with everybody else. Because they don't see what you see. Hallelujah. Amen. They don't see what you see. So he just chipping and chipping and chipping. And he's forming this image. And they say, now we know we see a man, but who is this man? Oh, Michelangelo says, I'll tell you, he just keep chipping and keep carving and keep this and keep that and keep. Hallelujah. Amen. And I think finally he told somebody, maybe he might have told somebody, say, this is Moses. Michelangelo, you ain't never seen Moses in your life. How you know this is Moses? Because this is what I saw in my inspiration. And see what he saw in his mind mentally, he finally formed it and it became material. And when it became real, I hope y'all can follow me on this. Amen. This is just like it is with God. Amen. God's thoughts for us were real thoughts at the beginning. You know, God was fellowshipping with you before you even got here. Right. Y'all might not understand that. God was enjoying your worship before you even got here. Brother Jack, how can you say that? Well, the Bible say, where were you? Job said, where were you when the sons of God sat down? When the sons of God just stared and looked. No, the sons of God was. But they were shouting for what? Joy. Praise God. Amen. You ought to have joy even when your bill's behind. You ought to have joy when the devil's attacking your body. Praise God. You still ought to have joy. The songwriters say, I still have joy. I still have joy. after all the things I've been through, I still have joy.
Michelangelo, say this Moses, and he was so inspired by what had come out of his mind into reality that Michelangelo took his thing that he was chiseling with and he struck it on the knee. Yeah. Hit it. And he hit it so hard that it chipped it. Yeah. And the very thing, amen, that he had been waiting on, I mean, trying to bring it to perfection, now he's damaged it. But when he did that, he yelled and screamed at Moses. This is a man that is moving by inspiration. He's speaking to a rock. Because Moses himself spoke to a rock. Now Michelangelo, by inspiration, is speaking to a rock.
Yes, sir.
Same channel. Come on.
And he hit the rock. And he said, "Speak, Moses." Inspiration might make some of y'all look like you lost your mind.
Right.
But you're moving by something that other people cannot see.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Inspiration say we can have the church. Inspiration say we can have the school. Inspiration say it'll be like we said. If you say to the mountain, "Be thou removed," and don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say by inspiration.
You got to have some inspiration. You find it in Scripture. Moses, when he spoke these words in Exodus 14, Moses was challenged. The Red Sea in front of him, Pharaoh's army behind him. He's in a dire strait. He's in between a rock and a hard place. And rather than Moses, amen, let me put it this way, he did cry. We didn't read that. He did cry. But before he cried, he spoke something by inspiration. And this is what we read here in Exodus 14, 13. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." Again, put it back on God, which he will show you. I'm not going to do this. God going to do this. Right. Which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today. See, what this is to me is that Moses was sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right.
He knew that they, amen, had reached a point where the promise said that they were only being bondage for so long.
Right.
They had reached that state. So now they're supposed to be delivered because God said so.
Yeah.
So if God promised deliverance, then the Egyptians can't take us back.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Can I tell you that? If God has promised you deliverance, those Egyptians cannot take you back into bondage.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If this is your season, then this is your season. And in your season, your leaf will not wither. That's what the Bible say. Your leaf will not wither. Your leaf won't dry up in your season. Praise God. So he goes on to say, "The Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." All that spoke by inspiration.
Hallelujah.
Moses speaking this by inspiration. And look at this. He goes on and put it on God again. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now I'm going to tell you something. I like when God fight.
Yeah.
See, if this was Moses' fight, he might have took a sword out and, you know, killed another few Egyptians. Like he did to one Egyptian. I don't know what he did. He killed one Egyptian. He probably took a sword out. He had already been trained the way, amen, Egypt. He knew their military strategies. He knew how they fought. He knew all this. So Moses would have been prepared. And he would have killed maybe one or two or three Egyptians. Rest of y'all run while we get this one. Run. That ain't how God fight.
That ain't how God fights. Hallelujah. And after Moses spoke this, this is where we see him crying.
All right.
Hallelujah. He tell him, hold your peace. Now he start crying. He's like, oh, Lord, I don't know what I just said. Hallelujah. See, our God is not like that. Every word that he speaks is calculated. God does not make no, God don't have to say nothing and take it back. Right? So he wants us to realize that we have that same type of authority in us. Therefore, we need to watch what we say.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Therefore, we need to watch what we say. Praise God, because there's power in your words. Power to give life or power to take it away. Death and life lies in the power of the tongue. Look at this. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest, verse 15, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forth. Now this is where God has given him instruction. Before he didn't have no instruction. Before he spoke by inspiration. But because God was in Moses, because the thus saith the Lord was in Moses, God had to back up what Moses said. And so when Moses didn't know what to do, and he was all frustrated and maybe flabbergasted with, okay, now which direction do I go now? God now gives him instruction. Say, speak, right? Say, don't cry unto me. Wherefore cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Right. Don't even look back. Go forward. Right. Don't look back. Go forward. Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't look at your mistakes. Don't look at your past. Yeah. Go forward. From this day, go forward. Hallelujah. That is inspiration. Jot it down like the prophet did. From this day, go forward. April 7th, 2019, go forward. You see how God does things? In the fourth month, on the seventh day, he speaks, go forward. Amen. What is four? The number of deliverance. What is seven? Completion. And on the fourth month, seventh day, go forward. See, so you write little things like that down because you'll come back and pick that up again. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Somebody else should have yelled like Sister Rachel. That's for me. Right, that's for me. She's taking it personal. Hallelujah. God know how to speak to you. Look at this. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now he's giving them instruction, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now God's giving them instruction now. But before he had inspiration, not instruction, inspiration. Now you're waiting for instruction, but God wants you to move by inspiration. Can I say that again? You're waiting for instruction, but God wants you to move by inspiration.
Amen.
I'm going to ask a hard question. What's really in your heart? What's really in your heart? See, it was in David's heart to build God a temple. Right? That was what was in his heart. And when he started moving by what was in his heart, the inspiration of his heart, actually the prophet even told him, do all that is in thine heart.
Right.
The prophet told him that. Now, when the prophet hadn't prayed and got the will of God, so when God showed him, said, no, I don't want David to do that, God stopped him. So let me tell you this. If you move by inspiration and it's wrong, God will stop you. Now, I had to say that to release you so you can start moving by inspiration. You're waiting for instruction, but God wants to give you inspiration. Can I put it this way? When I talk about the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and we know what God did, I'm going to say it like this. Y'all, forgive me if it don't come out right. But God wanted to share his glory with Moses. So he allowed Moses to speak something and place Moses' words in the scripture. So God want to share some things with you, right? But he got to put you in a situation where you can turn around and write the testimony. I said. But you wouldn't get that until he actually inspired you to say it. So while he giving you glory, you giving him glory.
What's your inspiration? I believe you find it when you're going through your moments of trial. That's when your inspiration actually comes out. You might not even know it's there, but it shows up when you're going through. A trial that I had one time on my job, I was a manager, and I just got this employee, man. I thought my team was doing really good. And, man, I'm like, we straight. Boy, we good. And we go to a meeting, I think it was like a little worship service that we went to, and we come out to worship service, and one of the guys, Pooman, I said, Jack, I need to talk to you. He said, okay, all right, no problem. What's going on? How can I help you? He said, I got a new job, and I'm going to be leaving in 2 weeks. I said, oh, no, we just got the team together. So you leaving me in 2 weeks? He said, yeah, I'll be leaving in 2 weeks. I said, man, I'm real sorry to hear that. So, you know, I said, okay. So I, you know, went and told my boss what was going on. I said, we're going to lose them in 2 weeks and so on and so forth. And I said, well, I was a little despondent about it, upset about it. I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just got all this together. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And so then he came back to me like maybe a day or so later, and he said, Jack, I know I told you 2 weeks, but I'm going to have to leave at the end of this week. I said, what? I don't even have time to replace you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, how's this going to happen? I said, man, they say, all right. I said, I'm like, man, you do us like that. We the church, you know. They don't do us like that. So I said, all right. If you got to do what you got to do, that's fine. So he went on. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to replace this guy? Lord, what am I going to do? And as I start praying about it, God led me to a scripture. And see, I could have been I could have just walked around with this very sad countenance and poor me, hoping everybody felt sorry for me. But God led me to a scripture, and I went back to the scripture where Samuel was told by God, say, Saul, I have rejected as king. And they say now, and Samuel was a little discouraged, like, man, I anointed this guy to be king. I anointed Samuel, and I know he left it. I anointed Saul. Say, but Lord, you know, and God said, no, don't even worry about praying for him. I have rejected him. And God was pretty much saying, I got another king.
Yeah.
God was already prepared.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Can I put it that way?
Right.
God waiting on you to catch up.
Yeah.
God already done walked this thing out. He waiting on you to catch up. Hallelujah. Right. God was already prepared. And when I looked at, I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I rejected Samuel. I got me another king. Now, you know, this is another thing. I'm just taking my time here. I don't even know how long I've been here. But I know that this is the thing. He said, I already got another king. Go to Jesse's house. Now, I had to ask myself a question. If God told him who house to go to. Why didn't God tell him which boy it was going to be? He told him the house and the name of the house, but he didn't tell him which boy. Because I think in the process, by not showing which boy, God also showed something to Samuel. Don't judge people the way other people judge people. See, I look on a man's heart. I don't look the way other people look. Because he's looking at the stature of this man. But I'm looking at the character of the man. He never even told him the boy. He told him the house, but not the boy. Because God wanted to show something more to him. And let me tell you something. When you're going through something, it's just because God wanted to show a little bit more to you. went on down there and anointed David to become king. And when he got David as his king, you know, and I looked at that story, I said, okay, Lord, what you're telling me is that you already got the next person for me for this job. You already know who they are, and you just know where they are. And I had to change my attitude. And once I changed my attitude and I caught things by scripture, then I just began to look differently. And then it just kind of struck me. So remember that one night, and I thought it was a mistake. I went to work, and I was going to be trained for, you know, running the camera and stuff like that. And as I was being trained for running the camera, I went at a particular time. I remember getting an email, and I went about 4 o'clock for the training. And they say, Jack, you didn't respond to the email in time, so the training not happened until 7 o'clock. If you would have responded when we needed you to respond, you would have been able to do it at 4 o'clock. But you didn't respond, so you got to come back at 7 o'clock. So I called my wife and said, you know, dear, I'm going to be late getting home. I got to, you know, stand for this training. You know, I'm going to be working on the camera, so I'm going to just be late getting home tonight. She's like, okay. And when I thought I was making a mistake, God had already walked things out. So here, I didn't make it to the 4 o'clock because I didn't respond. Well, by me going to the 7 o'clock training, we all start introducing ourselves. Well, I'm Jack, and I work here at this, you know, in this department. I work in the IT department. I do this. And then the next day, I say, I'm so-and-so, and I work in IT at this job. I'm so-and-so, I work in IT at this job. Next one, I work in IT. I'm like, everybody work in IT? That's coming for training, and everybody had different companies they were working for. And I'm like, man, this is something amazing. Now, God allowed that little situation to happen so it'll stay in my mind.
Right.
So when I lost this employee, my mind went back to that situation. Remember all them guys that volunteered and they work in IT? I called a lady that arranged the meeting, and I say, you know, you got any email addresses or contact information where I can reach out to these guys to see, you know, check and see if they want a job? She sent me the emails. I sent out an email blast, and one guy responded. Wow. And the one guy responded is the one guy I hired.
Amen.
See, God had already walked the thing out. But I had to change my attitude. And I had to get some inspiration from the scripture.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, my inspiration connect with his inspiration, it's going to produce a result. And this is what the prophet trying to tell us. When your inspiration, if whatever you do, don't let the devil take your inspiration.
Amen.
Job had inspiration when he was going through. His inspiration was, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Say, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That was his inspiration. I believe the centurion, amen, had an inspiration when he met the Lord Jesus. It says, I'm a man under authority. And I tell this one to come and he comes, and I tell that one to go and he goes. He said, if you would just speak the word only, my servant will be made whole. That was his inspiration, and there was a result from his inspiration. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember the woman, amen, that with the issue of blood, she had an inspiration. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I know I'll be made whole. When her inspiration connected with the living word, it produced a result.
Amen.
There was one woman, a Syrophoenician woman, amen, come begging, you know, just for her daughter. And say, you know, I know if you just kind of came and prayed for my daughter. He said, look, I'm not even sent to your people. I'm not sent to your people. She say, now, you're right. Your people are dogs. That's what he called. Your people are dogs, and I'm not sent to them. She said, you know, you're right. That's exactly right. Her attitude was right.
Yeah. Amen.
And she say, but even the dogs.
Yeah.
Even dogs can lick a crumb from the master's table.
Right.
I don't need a whole meal.
Right.
But a crumb from your table will satisfy. You say, great is your faith, woman.
Amen.
Go find it the way that you believed it.
Amen.
Her inspiration connected with the living word. It produced a result.
Yes,
David had inspiration. Now I want to leave you with this one. I got more here, but I ain't gonna go through all this today. But David had inspiration. David walked out there. He wasn't even supposed to be there. But they, the Philistines had them under duress. And David walks out to bring his brother some lunch or something like that from the house and just kind of see about their well-being. And he say, and he see Goliath come walking out and make this boast. Goliath, I mean, David said, now who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He talked different than everybody else. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine saying this? I don't care how big he is. Who is he? Can you see David just pointing his hand? Who is he? Who is this guy here? Y'all going to do something about this or what? I can't see nothing. Now, who is he? Yeah, David, oh, so you think you something? So, yeah, I am. I don't think I'm something. I know the God that's in me is something. How can you say that? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So, and all I can tell you is that I done faced bigger problems than this. I done faced bigger giants than this. And this ain't nothing. And I done seen God do it before. God will do it again. His attitude was different. He was moving by inspiration. And because of the way he talked, it began to, you know, get around in the camp. And everybody be like, well, who is this little fella that's talking? He was a young man. Right? 17, 18 years old, young man out there talking like this. And finally got the Saul's court like, who is this young fella out here talking like this? And they say, well, bring him in here. Let me talk to him. He approached Saul. Said, now, I don't know who this uncircumcised Philistine is, but I'd be glad to fight him.
Yeah.
Now, Saul looked at him. Son, we appreciate your enthusiasm. We really appreciate your enthusiasm. But we talk about the nation of Israel is resting on your shoulders. Men's lives are resting on your shoulders. And I ain't got no confidence in this. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Other folk might not have confidence in your inspiration.
That's right.
But when God's revealed it to you, you got to stand on it.
Right.
They're not moving by what you see. Only you can move by what you see. So he stood and said, he gave him a testimony. He said, if you don't mind, let me testify.
That's all right. Come on now.
It says, you know, I was out watching my daddy's sheep saw a bear came in and got one of the sheep, and I went and took that bear right from out of that bear's grasp. So you did that? So yes, I sure did. Oh, I said, man, that's pretty good, because bears could stand 8 feet tall themselves. Brother Branham shot an 8-foot grizzly. Right? So he said, that's pretty good. You did that? So yeah, I certainly did, sir. He said, and also, while I'm there fighting off the bear, and I got him out of there, a little lion come up and gonna take one of my daddy's sheep. Now, you know, it's a shame for a shepherd to lose sheep. You know that, right? He said, so sir, I had to finish up this bear. And then I went after the lion. You did what? I went after the lion, grabbed him by his beard, took my sheep back, nursed the sheep back to health. Huh? And restored that sheep. He say, but neither the lion nor the bear got my daddy's sheep. None of them. I know nobody was out there to see me. But I'm telling you what happened. That's why I'm not afraid of this guy. He said, he is defying the armies of the living God. It's not even my battle. It's God's battle.
Amen.
And all God needs is somebody to do what? Show up.
Amen.
Say, okay, I got your testimony has impressed me. But I'm just still a little unsure, because you ain't got no army going out here. Get this giant. It gave him some army. And I just always ask the question, if Saul didn't believe in his own armor protecting him to go fight Goliath, why he gonna give it to David? And David said, no, I don't need this. He said, when I fought the lion and the bear, I didn't have all this. All I had was 5 smooth stones and this slingshot. And if God rescued me with this, he's going to rescue y'all with this same instrument.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
David went out there and he fought Goliath. And I want to say something to you when it comes to inspiration. Some of y'all might be looking forward to get through a situation that you might be in right now. I want to tell you something. Your prior victories should inspire future success. Can I write? Y'all gonna write that down? Anybody gonna write that down? That's what God said to tell y'all. Your prior victories should inspire future success. And I can just tell you this right now. I done seen God make a way for some of y'all. I done seen him do it. I done watched him providing ways that go beyond your expectations. I seen him do it before. I know he'll do it again. Amen. Amen. I seen when you got your first house, and I saw how God did it.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. I saw God with my own eyes. I saw God. When you got your first house, I saw God provide. When you got your first apartment, I saw God provide. When you got your first car, I saw God provide. I saw some of y'all children born and how you done raised them up to be, amen, adults. I saw God provide for y'all. Your past victories, your prior victories should inspire future success. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Lion went down, bear went down. And why did Goliath have to go down? Because God is perfected. God's perfected in threes. Oh, my. I can't get into all that. I just have to let it go. God wants you to know that there's inspiration. Moses moved out by inspiration. And when he said the Egyptians that you're seeing today, you'll see them no more forever. Through that inspiration, we noticed the end of the story that Pharaoh's army came after he stretched this rod across the sea and it divided hither and thither. divided hither and thither. Amen, Brother Kwaku. It divided and they walked across some dry land. Here come Pharaoh's army, because God don't fight like we fight. He not just taking one sword and, you know, y'all know that, right? You know, when Joshua said, "Son, stand still," that was his inspiration. God didn't tell Joshua to say that. That was Joshua's inspiration. And God honored his inspiration. And when he said that, before he said it, God was fighting in the battle. They were slaying this and doing, and they just killing as many people as they could. But when God started fighting, you know how God fought? Hailstones. And I want y'all to see God. Can you see yourself fighting the enemy? And you just there with your sword, and a hailstone come, hit him, and miss you. You talk about calculated. You talk about precise. You talk about perfect. Here the thing hit you, and you like, and you turn around to get it in a hailstone. And the Bible say more would kill with hailstones than with a sword. So when God fight, it's over. It's over. Moses probably said, "I don't know how we're going to do this." God said, "Now just take a rod, stretch it out, and y'all walk across. Go forward. Just keep going forward." Man, they start walking forward, and here, God was holding up them Egyptians. Put that pillar there, the pillar cloud and all that there to kind of hold them up. And then he just lifted it just. And when he lifted, they thought, "Oh, boy, God, oh, he done made a way for me too." Went running across the middle. And God wait till they got way out there. Not. He didn't do nothing while they was on the show. Come on in here. And here they running out. You know, Pharaoh thought, "Boy, I got this." They thought they got away. Yeah. Come on, boys. Everybody running after them. And God waited till they got real good inside. Yeah. Then he did something for them. And by closing it up, by closing it up, he actually fulfilled Moses' inspiration. The Egyptians you have seen today, you'll see them no more forever. Moses didn't think that. Moses didn't even know how it was going to happen. He said, God's going to show you how it's going to happen. Hallelujah. And can I say it like Moses said in the Exodus? And the Lord did. The Lord did that thing. Don't let the devil take your inspiration. Don't let him take your inspiration. You're going to need that to defeat some devils. And if he's done it before, he'll do it again. And let your past, your prior successes inspire future success. Amen. Let's pray. Musicians, if you would make your way forward. Father, we are so grateful for the word. Your prophet just tell us, Lord, these little things of how we have to allow our inspiration to connect with the inspiration that is in the word. Lord, then we'll see results. You know the things that we're facing. You know the things that we're up against, the rock in the hard place that may be before us. Father, we'll speak by faith, knowing that if we say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, don't down our hearts, then we can have what we say. Lord, our prayer, our desire is for us to begin to walk, Lord, in these places that you have called us to, knowing, oh God, that the enemy desires to keep us from these things. That's his desire. But Lord, I pray that we all just begin to take a walk down memory lane. Just begin to think on the things that you've already done. You have proven yourself over and over and over again. One thing you cannot do is fail. The song was sang a little earlier. Through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus. We've learned to take you at your word. And Father, we are encouraged, God, that you'll hold us, you'll carry us through. And Lord, I don't know the different Egyptians that the people may be facing. I don't know the Egyptians that they dealt with before they came here. Sometimes it represents a spirit. Lord, we don't know what folk we're facing. But we can say that the Egyptians they saw today, they'll see no more forever. We speak it by faith, by inspiration, and believe, oh God, that you will bring your word to pass. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Some point in time, the songs that we sing just can't remain songs, but they have to become manifestations in our lives. There's a song we did years ago, and I'm glad that the musicians just kind of picked up on it and brought it here. And I want to invite us all to stand and song just says, I shall have what I decree. Because I believe it belongs to me. Anybody believe that? Amen. Brother Solomon, if you would just come and take control of the service. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Through this song. I shall have what I decree. Yes, I believe. It belongs to me. Yes, I shall have
what I decree. Yes, I believe it belongs to me. So I'm gonna, so I'm gonna I shall have, yes I shall have what I decree, for I believe it belongs to me. Oh, I shall have what I decree. Yes, I believe it belongs to me. So I'm gonna, gonna open up my mouth and say, so I'm gonna, so I'm gonna speak it, 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 declare. Declare it, declare it, declare it, declare it, declare it, declare it, declare, say it. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine. It's all mine, it's all mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine, it's all mine, it's all mine. Speak it, 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 declare 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 it, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Open your mouth, open your mouth. It's mine, 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 it's mine. So I'm gonna, hallelujah, so I'm gonna, so I'm gonna, come on, you gotta release it, you gotta release it, so I'm gonna. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God has placed an authority in you to speak. Then he anoints those words with his power to bring it to pass. He elected you for this hour when Satan has had 6,000 years to perfect his craft, where he tears down souls. God didn't place you back in the age of Noah, days of Moses, the days of Jesus Christ himself. He called you for this hour, a special class of people, to defy Satan, to only believe God. He's given you that authority. He's given you the inspiration to speak and go forward, to change your bodies. All you gotta do is speak. Ye are that chosen generation that God has called kings and priests. Amen. So you're gonna salvation. Just claim it. It's yours. Just speak it. It's yours. Whatever you have need of, God has given it all to us. Just go out, reach, and take it. It's already yours. You are ordained to have it. My. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God. What a word, inspiration. What a word to come at this time, Lord. Father, when you have made preparations for us, as we were listening in Sunday school, Lord, before we ever came to this earth, you knew that Brother Troy liked fishing, so you created lakes, Lord, that fish would be in. You know that I love mountains, Lord, so you created the mountains. You made preparations for us to come. Lord God, you provided inspiration in this hour, Lord, and given us a word to speak, Lord God. The heavens are full of these benefits, Lord God, and all we have to do is take them, Lord. You've placed so many promises in your word, Lord God. It's been sitting there, almost laying dormant in our lives because we haven't reached out to take them, Lord. But they're there, Lord. You made provisions. You already made the way, Lord. You just want us to ask. You just want us to speak. You want, Heavenly Father, as I watch my children grow, I know someday they're going to grow up into adulthood. I can't baby them no more. They have to stand on their own two feet. They have to make a way, Lord, for their lives, Lord God, what they choose to be and how they choose to stand. And Father, you have placed all of us as sons and daughters of God in a position that we have to stand on our own two feet and speak, defy Satan. It's written, if we resist him, he'll flee from us, Lord. So we take your word, Lord, and hold that sharp two-edged sword and cut that devil. Take his hands off our families. Take his hands, Lord, off of our bodies. Take his hands off of all of our possessions, Lord. Father, we speak, we move forward into the rapture, Lord, the changing of our bodies. Lord, it's that hour, Lord. We believe, and we'll continue to speak in the atmosphere and believe that what we have spoken shall come to pass because you said so. Amen. It's that thus saith the Lord, arising from the inside. Father, we love you, Lord. We ask, oh God, that you would be with our pastor and strengthen him, continue to pour out revelation and inspiration upon him to bring messages like this, Lord God. And Lord, everything that we have need of, Lord, it seems, Lord, you always have the right time, the right moment to speak to our hearts, Lord God, and we're grateful for it. Father, we just ask that you would keep this people, each one, Lord, that was under the sound of the voice today, Lord God, that you would continue to minister to each one as we leave this place, Lord. May the Holy Ghost, Lord, just minister the word of life that we've heard, Lord, and water that seed within us. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would bless us, grant traveling mercies to us, Lord. Bring us all back at the appointed time. Keep us all safe and out of harm's way. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated, and our brethren will come and dismiss you.